Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. Well, if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the Gospel record of John. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 17. The Gospel record of John and chapter number 17. We are walking through the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ. May I remind you that the Lord Jesus Christ did not pray what we would often call the Lord's Prayer. It is more aptly titled the Model Prayer because Jesus never had to pray for his trespasses to be forgiven. He never had to pray to avoid evil. He never had to pray to for him to have to deal correctly with others. But the prayer that Jesus did pray is found in John chapter 17. As Jesus is now hours away from going to the cross, he is hours away from being put on a false trial, beaten and battered, put on a cruel cross and dying. And he knows that this is going to happen. This isn't a surprise. He knows it's going to happen. He takes some time to talk to his Father and to pray for us. And through this prayer, we could learn quite a bit about life, universe, everything, following after Christ. We could learn quite a bit. If you don't mind, we now find our way to the book of John, the Gospel record of John, chapter 17. And we've been walking through this verse by verse. If you don't mind, for today, we're going to jump right in the middle of it in verse number 14. John 17, the Gospel record of John, chapter 17, and notice with me in verse number 14. It says, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And if you're in the habit of noticing things in your Bible, notice what Jesus said as he's talking to God, the Heavenly Father. It said in verse number 14, the world hath hated him, them. The world hath hated them. And the question is asked, will the world still hate us? And that's an apt question because we can look in the past and say, yes, they hated Christ, and we're going to go over that in a second. But the question is will the world still present? Has the world evolved? Has the world matured? Has it become more cultured? Has it really become more understanding? Will the world still hate us? And unfortunately, the question is yes. Yes, they will. If you choose to serve God with all your heart, do not expect people to pat you on the back and say, way to go. I'm all for you. That doesn't work. A great example of that is Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who preached for 40 years. And during that 40 years, no one patted him on the back and say, attaboy. No one said, you keep going. We're behind you. No one even bought him a coffee and donuts and said, here, we appreciate you, preacher. 40 years he preached, and no one liked his message. And yet, he wasn't the mean one. He was called the weeping prophet because he was weeping and so brokenhearted over the rejection of the people towards Israel. In fact, Jesus himself was known as the weeping prophet. In fact, let's look at Jesus. Did Jesus ever do anything wrong or sinful? Did he ever say anything unkind or unwarranted? Was he overly mean to anyone? Did he do evil acts? Did he live a double life? Was he committing adultery with another woman or living in sin with another woman while he was on this earth? No. And yet the world hated him. So much so, when they had a known criminal and an antagonist who was trying to overthrow the government, he was arrested because he had murdered someone. And Jesus Christ, who had helped people publicly for 3 years, the crowd still looked at Jesus and said, "Crucify him. Crucify him." The world hated Christ. And if we are going to be true Christians, the word Christian means Christ-like, then because we are like Christ, the world also will hate us. You see, this world is very consistent. It hates everything that is different and everything it doesn't understand. Just for you being different is enough for you to earn the world's hatred. They want everyone to be the same. They want everyone to line up to their thoughts, their ideas. And if anything is different, they attack it, they kill it, they destroy it, they wipe it out of the way. They hate anything that is different. The Lord knew the trials that the disciples were going to go through. Remember, Jesus knows everything. And as he is praying, he's praying for the disciples. He's praying for the first century church. And he's praying for us. We've already seen earlier in the text that he's praying for us. He is praying. Think about the disciples. The disciples, very shortly after this, as they have the power of the Holy Spirit, they begin to preach. And immediately afterwards, they're arrested. Why? Because they healed a guy. Peter and John were arrested because they healed a guy. We had that for our Resurrection Sunday message. That's all they did. They healed a guy and they were arrested. And they were ordered, "Don't you ever preach this name again." Okay. And so they went and they gathered the church and said, "All right, listen, we got threatened and this is a big thing. The world hates us. What should we do? Well, let's pray." And they prayed for boldness and they got boldness. And guess what they went and did? They preached. Got arrested again. The world hated them. Did they do anything wrong? They were healing people. They were helping people. But the world hated them. We could see that all throughout the centuries with the first century church. They hated them. And it has not got any better. That if you try to follow after Christ, you said, "This isn't an encouraging message." It's a realistic message. Because we have to understand that if we work to get acceptance from the world, we're either going to compromise or be severely disappointed. That the master that we're supposed to please is him. That's the one we're supposed to please. You cannot serve two masters. Either you will love the one or hate the other. The Bible said that. Jesus said that. What does that mean? That means that you can only serve one master effectively. You can't please two masters. For any of us who've had jobs with more than one boss over us, we realize that. I was part in the Air Force where I had 7 bosses. And all of them had something different. And if I did this, they were going to be mad. And if I did this, they were going to be mad. You can't please all masters. And you cannot please the world and Christ. They're going two opposite directions. You either please the one and make the other one hate you, or you please the one, let the other one despise you. You can't do both. That helps us out that we have to choose who we're going to serve. Joshua said for this, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." That's the master we're going to serve. That is who we're going to honor. Pastor Sexton tells a story that when he was first called to preach, he was preaching at his home church, just a teenage kid, still on his first couple messages. And his grandfather came, first time grandfather heard him preach. And all throughout the message, the grandfather of Pastor Sexton was weeping and crying. And Pastor Sexton said, "Oh, he's crying because my message is that awful. It's just bringing him to tears." And afterwards, the grandfather came up to him and said, "The reason why I was weeping is because I realize that if you preach the gospel, all the opposition you're going to face. And I'm weeping for what you're going to run into." And that made an effect on Pastor Sexton to let him realize right away in the beginning that if he chose this, not everyone is going to like his message. Not everyone is going to be happy. We know that many professing Christians have worked out a scheme to be just enough Christian not to offend the world. But the day will come when saying yes to God and no to the world is going to bring the outrage of the world upon us. with that, let's study this a little bit more and just kind of walk through this principle. First of all, the world will hate you if you're obedient to the word of God. The world will hate you if you're obedient to the word of God. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Notice with me, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews 10 and verse 25, a verse that every Christian here as part of this church should have memorized. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice this, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. You see, the world has no problems if you show up to church every now and again. But if you're going to obey this, every time the doors are open and you are available to make it, you need to make it. But if you do that, the world says you're taking this too far. You're going overboard with this thing. You know, it's all right to have religion, but you know, this is beyond. Many of you have already told stories where those things happen. I remember when I was a teenager going to church. I was the only one in my family going to church. I came back from a Wednesday night service and noticed that there was a lot of cars and people at my house. What's this? Realized that they were pulling an intervention on me. And they were like, are you part of a cult? I mean, I've never seen someone this serious about going to church. I mean, you go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I mean, this is too far. We're really sure you're in a cult. What? But the Bible says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. The Bible says that if I am providentially able to make it Sunday morning, I need to be there. If I am providentially able to make it Sunday night, I need to be there. If I am providentially able to make it on a Wednesday night, I should be there. What do you mean by providentially hindered? I was in the military. Sometimes, especially during war, I had to work on a Wednesday. Does that mean I'm evil for not showing up? No, I was not available to make it up. I had a legitimate thing that was keeping me from able to make it. Now, if I'm able to make it, I need to go. But you understand, there's a lot of Christians today that will show up to a Sunday morning and barely be conscious, or worse yet, angry birding that thing. And Sunday night, not even think about coming. And they're fine with that. But if we're going to obey the word, then it messes everything up. We choose to obey. The idea of giving. All right, if we're going to obey the Bible and give as we ought, it confuses the world. I remember, again, in the Air Force, nothing's private. I remember one time they were looking at my finances and saying, you're giving how much to the church? This is unreasonable. Are you part of a cult? I'm being obedient to what God's given to me. But they're like, but if you give this much, your finances don't work out. I know, but God always takes care of it. It doesn't make sense. You're out of your mind. I'm trying to obey the Bible. And I had to go through that. That was actually, you know, official things that they were going through the finances for and trying to help me to be a responsible adult, which I appreciate. But that they were very much against. You're giving way too much to the Lord. This is unreasonable. Well, not according to the Bible. I'm doing what I said. The world doesn't understand, and the world still is confused by it. And they become antagonistic by it. Again, many of you have already told me stories that as you've been following the Lord, your family's confused. What in the world are you doing? Is it crazy there? Is it a cult? Are you guys drinking Kool-Aid? What, you know, what's going on? They don't understand. And we're going to have to understand. As we follow the Bible more and more, the world is going to be very more and more less tolerant, less understanding. The world system does not work with the Bible. What do you mean you can't go to the bar and drink? I'm trying to obey the Lord. This is what God's told me to do. That doesn't make sense. What's wrong with it? You're from Wisconsin. Sorry, we're trying to obey what the Bible said. These things It will not get better. And as we are obedient to the Lord, it will not get better. In fact, obedience is what God is asking of us. Notice with me, if you don't mind, to Joshua chapter 1. The book of Joshua chapter 1. And if you don't mind, we'll get a good running start. Remember, Moses has died. Joshua is now taking control, charge of Israel. And as he is preparing to take the leadership, notice what all goes on here. Verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go after this Jordan, thou and this people, unto the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I've given to you, as I've said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide an inheritance of the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate thereon day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Let's pause. Who is speaking? God is speaking. Who is he speaking to? Joshua. So notice, this isn't Joshua preaching to the people. This is God talking to Joshua as he's getting ready to take charge. And as Joshua is the leader, in verse number 9, what did God tell Joshua to do? Verse number eight. Thank you for the grace. Meditate on what? On the word of God. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, that thou shalt meditate day and night. Why? Why should he meditate on the Bible day and night? Why should he read it? Why should he study it? According to the verse? No, that's incorrect, but that's what most people say. Chris? Oh.
So that thou mayest observe to do according
that
to
that thou mayest observe to do. That's a fancy way of saying obey. Why should you read your Bible? So you know what to obey. Then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you shall have good success. Good success is a byproduct, not the goal. The goal is to obey the Bible. God is speaking, and he's speaking to Joshua, and he's saying, you need to read, meditate, study your Bible, so that way you obey it. And as you obey it, then you shall make your way prosperous. Then you should have good success. God said to Joshua, obey the Bible. That was what God had given him to do. We can't expect God's blessing, and we can't expect to have understanding if we're not willing to obey the Bible. That's what God asked of us. And as we obey the Bible, the benefits is that we should have good success and be prosperous. The not benefits is the world is going to hate us as we try to follow God more. There's a second principle with this idea, is that the world will hate you if you identify with Christ Jesus. If you identify with Christ Jesus. Look with me, if you don't mind, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is what we often call the hall of faith. And that Hebrews chapter 11 goes after Old Testament Bible characters and then says, by faith, by faith, by faith. And over, it lists these people and said, by faith. By the way, we learn here, faith always produces action. There's no such thing as passivity in the Christian life. It is always action. Faith produces action. Because I see God and believe on him, I take a step. Because I see God and I believe in him, I take a step. By faith. By faith. Let's look specifically at Moses. And I want you to pay attention to the verbs in the story of Moses. Notice with me Hebrews 11 verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 days of his parents, or 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. All right, class, what was the king's commandment during the time Moses was born? Not all firstborn sons, all sons, period. Very good. Yeah. So if you had a son, you were ordered to kill the kid by the order of the government. That was nice. So there was a choice. Do I obey God or do I obey the government? If they obeyed God, is the government going to be happy? No. Are they going to be really upset and hate you? Yep. Absolutely. This was a big deal. And so that was a choice. By the way, that's not an easy choice. It's a hard choice. But they realized, I can't keep a child. For any of you who have ever had a baby, you realize that the baby is always going to cry at the most inconvenient times.
Oh, yes.
So you could just see after after 3 months of nerves, can you imagine guards walking outside the door? Please, Moses, don't cry. Please don't cry. Please don't cry. Because just knowing that kid's going to cry when the guard's there. I mean, you imagine how your nerves would be frayed and how, oh, after 3 months, you couldn't do it anymore. So they put Moses. She had read in the Bible about the story of the ark and said, well, we're going to make an ark for him, an ark of bulrushes. We're going to put him in the river and we're going to trust God with it. By faith, Lord, you've got to do something with this kid. It's now up to you. And of course, God had made it so Moses was raised in the palace. But then remember, Moses was given back to his mother. She had him for 7 years. She had only 7 years to influence the kid. By the way, that's the golden age of learning. The kid's personality and belief system and all that stuff is going to be set by the time they're seven. And then he went to the palace. But with those 7 years of influence, he was able to make decisions for himself. What decisions did he make? Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Notice that verb. He refused. Verse 25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses said, I'm looking at God, he's the one I'm pleasing, and I know it's going to aggravate the people around me, and that's not the purpose. The purpose is not to aggravate the people. But I know that if I obey God, they are going to be aggravated. And yet he, by faith, made specific choices. Remember, faith is not passive. Faith is active. And so he made a choice. Faith always produces action. By faith, he refused. By faith, he chose. By faith, he esteemed. By faith, he forsook. And all of that put him in odds against Egypt and the world system of that time. He was not popular as he chose that. And he chose those things. The book of 1 Peter chapter number 4. We see the word reproach used again. Turn with me if you don't mind. 1 Peter chapter 4. First Peter chapter 4. And notice with me in verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Well, that sounds stupid. When people make fun of me for following after Christ, I should be happy. Why? It says, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. God says, if you obey me and they make fun of you, they persecute you, he says, happy are you. Why? Because you please the Lord rather than the world. You made a choice. And you should be happy because you're pleasing the Lord. Well, that's pretty significant. That tells us that we do have a choice to make. Now, we understand there's wisdom. If we're doing something stupid and foolish, then that's our own problem. We've developed a persecution thing that if we do anything wrong, that's because they're against us. It said, for his name's sake. That is, we're specifically being obedient to God, and they hate us for us. That God is pleased because we're choosing him rather than just the easy path. There is no easy way to serve the Lord. And God is making it clear that if we identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to receive persecution. In fact, that's a promise of the Bible. Yea, all that live godly shall suffer persecution. It didn't say might. It said shall. So, by the way, if they're not persecuting you, if they're not aggravated with you, maybe you're not following after Christ the way that you should. Just leave that hanging there. The idea is that we're following after Christ, pleasing him. He's the goal. The goal is not to aggravate the world. The goal is not to make fun of the world. Our goal is God. But as we follow God, the world will not like it. A third principle that we find with this thing here is that the world will hate you when you're on God's mission in the world. We know that God is not willing that any shall perish, but all shall come to repentance. The disciples were given a commandment. The first century church was given a commandment to go out into all the world and preach the gospel. Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. This is the one main task that we've been given, to go tell others about the world. But as we go out, we know that the world is not going to like it. And this is where our problem lies quite a bit, is that we're afraid they're going to reject us. If I may remind you, 1 Peter 14, it says, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are you, for the Spirit of God and Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, he who is at God is evil spoken of. But on your part, he is glorified. Remember that it's all about God, not you. When they reject the gospel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. We can't put our personal thing into it. So many people are afraid to witness because they're afraid of what others are going to think about them. We have the wrong motive. It's all about God. We are to honor the Lord by obeying him. And if people don't like it, that's between them and the Lord. But we glorify God by obeying, even though we know that some people are not going to like it. Now, again, it doesn't give us permission to be harsh or uncouth or antagonistic. But as we're obeying the Lord, we glorify him as we're just showing that our God is real and we're willing to follow after him. Some of you might be familiar with the magician Pin. I forgot his first name, Pin, but big tall guy, magician, for decades. He once had a man wait for him after a show, waited for all the people to get signed, and he came up and handed Penn a Bible and a tract. And Penn took it. Now, Penn is not saved and still is not saved. But some people afterwards and said, I can't believe that guy did that. And he says, no. And this is what Penn said, and forgive me for not having the direct quote. But again, he's not saved. But he said, if you believe that there's an eternal place called hell or whatever else there is, and that real people go there, and you don't do what you can to keep people from going there, how much do you have to hate people? Mm-hmm. He said, I respected that guy for, even though I may not believe it, because he believed it was true, I respected him for loving me enough to try to tell me the truth, what he believed was to be true. That's from an unsaved atheist, a professed guy who does not believe in God. But the one thing I appreciate him was an honest evaluation. If we believe it's true that real people are going to an awful place called hell and they don't have to go there, how much do we have to hate them by not telling them? Pretty powerful stuff. We know that not everyone's going to appreciate it. But again, our goal is God. And we're going to obey him. And as we obey him, there are going to be people who don't like it. But we should not base what we're going to do, whether they like it or not. We base what we do as whether God is pleased by it or not. That is the one we stand for. That's the one that we're trying to please. It all begins with God. It all ends with God. God is the goal. He's the one that we need to glorify. He's the one that we need to please. As we said at the very beginning, we cannot serve two masters, for you either love the one or hate the other. We cannot please both the world and God. It cannot be done. As Joshua summarized, as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. He said at the beginning of that verse, choose you, ye, this day whom you are going to serve. That's a choice. Am I going to serve God or am I going to please the world? You cannot do both. But understand that if you do follow after God, the world is not going to appreciate you. They're not going to clap for you. They're not going to like you. They're not going to bring you up there. In fact, if I preach as I ought, there's going to be a lot of people who are not going to like the message. That's one of the things we have to watch out for, is it's easy to compromise because I want to be recognized. Oh, I want the awards. I want to preach at more places. I want to be able to give the invocation at so-and-so. I want people to say, oh, that's a good guy. He's a pillar of the community. You know, there's enough flesh in all of us that we want that. But if I preach the Bible and say, guess what? There are real people dying and going to hell. And unless you accept Jesus, you're going to go there. Well, then there goes the invitations. They'll never invite me back. I have to be fine with that. But you understand, there's enough flesh in us that we want the attaboy. We want the world to say, oh man, you're the greatest Christian I ever known. You keep going at it. That'd be nice, but it's unrealistic. We should expect them to not be happy with it, to be offended because we brought our Bibles to work, brought them to school, to be offended because we invite them to a meeting and say, hey, you know what? Again, decently in order, not wasting boss's time, not abusing that stuff, but looking to try to influence. We understand that people are not going to be happy. Now, again, I'm trying to be careful. We don't have permission to be stupid. We don't have permission to steal from our boss's time to try to do things, preaching a message while I'm at work, when I'm supposed to be doing something else. That's not what we're talking about. Wisdom needs to be applied. But as you follow after God, you're going to find your family understands you less and less and less. You're going to find that your neighbors understand you less and less and less. But the goal is God, and we have to be pleasing to Him. And Jesus knew that, and He prayed for us and prayed for that specifically as He was heading to the cross. If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you can give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.